I hear you've installed one of these newfangled alarms.
They're very good. We should get one for the permanent.
Old-fashioned locks will do for me.
You've seen the police circular. There are some high-class crooks moving into the antique market. You read about the Tashkent emeralds. That gallery was supposed to be thief-proof.
You worry too much. You'll get those Louis Kahn's chairs, won't you?
If the price is reasonable.
Damn the price! Get them! I can sell them. Regards to Pierre. And look in on Antoine if you can.
I will.
And find yourself a nice little French girl. You're getting to be a stuffy old bachelor. See you on Friday.
Pardon, I'm excused.
Oh, Bobler.
Oh, I say, I'm most frightfully sorry. I'm afraid I've spilt your wine.
It's all right, it is nothing.
Let me get you another glass.
It is all right, one more.
I am so sorry.
The Yang Chi Jade by Michael Campbell, based on the short story Mr. Pemberton's Commission by Freeman Wills Croft, with Jeffrey Bateman as Charles Pemberton and Karen Ford as Denise. The Yang Chi Jade.
This year.
Hello.
We meet again. The seats are not taken. I am escaping from the third class.
No, no, please.
You are busy. I am disturbing you.
Not at all.
I saw you on the station. But I am thinking you don't recognize me.
Yes, indeed. I bumped into you at the reception.
You come to France often?
About once a month. I buy from my firm, French furniture mostly.
You have a big business?
No, no. Just myself and a partner. Your English is very good.
My father is English, but I am being brought up in France.
Odd. My mother was French, but I was brought up in England. I think we are in for a rough crossing.
I am not traveling on the boat.
Are you all right?
I'm sorry. I am supposed to be going to England, but I have a telegram this morning. My father is very ill. Please. Excuse me.
No, of course. I do understand. I'm very sorry. If there is anything I can do...
I think you do not know who I am. When we met at the reception, I was not sure. Charles Pemberton, you steal a young girl's heart with your English smile, but you do not remember her?
We've met before.
Oh, yes. I am Denise, Madame Ilbrook's maid. You don't remember me?
Ah, yes. We sold her some things. A rather fine Belgian spinet, I seem to remember. But that was intended.
She has a house there. A house in Paris, in the south of France. She is very rich.
I've seen her Paris collection. It's one of the finest jade collections in Europe.
I hate her. Do this, do that. Make my tisane, fetch the chauffeur. I am a dog's body. That is what my father calls it. She is not kind to me. I am just a servant. Why should you remember me?
Please don't say that. Well, you look very different, that's all. And that dress.
You like it?
Indeed I do.
Your face, it is so solemn. You are not bidding for Louis Kahn's shares now. You remind me of my father, you know that? You are so English. Everything a French girl dreams an English gentleman should be. Reserved, kind, a breaker of hearts, and very handsome.
You are beautiful.
Oh, vous parlez? Charles, you do not mind if I call you Charles?
Of course not. Please.
When I say you have stolen my heart, I really mean it, Charles. I really do. From since I first saw you, you may think I am a silly girl, but I do not forget you.
I'm so glad we have met again.
It is good luck, yes?
It is indeed. Will you stay with Madame Hillbrook?
I think I shall not return to her. I have a small room in Paris, and...
What will you do?
I shall find something of my own. A little shop, perhaps.
May I come and see you?
You would like to do that?
Yes, I would. Let me have your address. Denise.
In Paris, 32, Rue d'Albert, 5e. My father has a restaurant in Boulogne called the Lion d'Or, near the Arbor. Everyone knows it. Charles, would you do something for me?
Of course.
Do you know Mrs. Bowater? Ellen Bowater, Madame Milbrook's daughter. Her husband left her and she drinks, but she is very nice. She lives in Highgate.
I don't think I do.
It is nothing very much, but it would save me some trouble. I have in my case... What a mess! Ah! It is for Hermione, Madame Milbrook's granddaughter. It is her birthday tomorrow, and I promised to deliver it this evening. Now I cannot. She will be so disappointed.
I should be happy to do that. I'll drop it in on my way home tonight.
You are very kind. Oh, but there is no need. The chauffeur will be in London. He was to drive me to Kent tomorrow. I will arrange for him to collect it in the morning.
No, really.
Oh, please, I would rather. Shall we say 11 o'clock?
That would be fine. Do you know what it is?
Oh, un petit objet de parure. A trinket, you say? Oh, we are coming into Amiens. I think I'd better return to my third class.
Oh, stay a little. Look, if it's a question
please,
of...
Please, I think I would rather. Will you write to me?
Yes. Here, let me give you my card. I do hope your father recovers soon.
Charles, we will meet again, yes?
Yes, Denise.
A promise?
A promise.
Then, au revoir.
Train on time?
Pretty well. Why have we taken to eating in this place?
Too flamboyant for you.
It is a bit garish. There's a lot of money in here, Charles.
That's Mortimer Coldthorpe over there with his mistress. She's got a few thousand round her neck. And I suspect the bearded gentleman with them is a Bolshevik agent, probably trying to buy guns. Good crossing.
I've known worse.
Have some champagne. I think you'll find this rather special.
Did you get those chairs? Went to a buyer in Marseille. They were composites, Peter.
I don't think these fine distinctions would worry my American customers. They wouldn't know the difference between a Rococo commode and a Gothic sideboard.
Well, they worry me. The reputation of this firm depends on trust. If we start...
The reputation of this firm depends on my clients. If I didn't sell your stuff, you'd be back where you were before you made me a partner. Remember those days? You're a damn good buyer, Charles. You've got impeccable judgment. But you couldn't sell a soup tureen to a kitchen maid.
That's not fair. I've sold a number of...
Oh, yes,
fine...
yes. Of course you have. You're splendid with rich widows. I do you an injustice. How is Pierre?
Charming as ever.
Anything for us?
Not much. Louis says armchair. might do for Halligut. Oh, and a rather splendid refectory table.
Did you manage to see Antoine?
Yes. He's created up a couple of cabinets for you, which he says you'll like. I haven't seen them. Sale went well. Picked up one or two quite nice items.
Good. How was the reception?
Full of plainclothes detectives, I was told. These thefts are causing quite a stir over there. Did you know they'd got the Tashkent emeralds? Sometime last week. It's the talk of Paris.
Really?
Pierre thinks he's found me a Bartolomeo Cristofori, somewhere south of Dijon. I think I might pop down and have a look at it.
When?
Oh, I thought next week, perhaps. We haven't much on.
Next week? Well, I know you're mad about Cristofori's, but won't you wait? Well, you're not going back for an old piano. You've met someone, haven't you? Well, come on, don't be coy.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have at the reception.
I thought you had a gleam in your eye. Tell me more.
She's very nice. Very French.
Ah, take her to the opera, did you?
We travelled on the train together. She came to my compartment, actually.
Well, well.
She was supposed to be coming across to England, but she had to stay in Boulogne. Her father is very ill. I think I'll have the salmon.
Does she have a name?
Denise.
I hope you haven't done anything indiscreet.
Of course not. I brought a parcel over for her, that's all.
Oh, wasn't that a bit unwise? Do you know what was in it?
A gift for a child.
And what are you to do with this gift?
It's for someone in Highgate. She wanted the chauffeur to collect it in the morning, but I shall drop it in after I've been home this evening.
Well, that seems a waste of time. Why not let the chauffeur collect it?
I shall take it myself.
She must have caught your fancy. Where is it now?
It's in my safe.
I don't know why we come here. The service isn't up to much, is it? What was the weather doing when you came in?
Pouring. Settle in for the night, I should say.
What do you think our chances are of a cab?
They'll find one for us.
I'll get them to order one. I'll do it now. I like the sound of the refectory table, Charles. I think I know where I can place that. I hope you know what you're doing with this girl.
I am a dog's body. That is what my father calls it. She is not kind to me. I am just a servant. Why should you remember me?
Mr. Courtney Pemberton?
Yes?
I wanted to have a word with you, sir. Sorry to trouble you at this time of night. We're police officers.
Oh. You had better come inside.
My name is French. Detective Inspector Scotland Yard. And my colleague, Detective Sergeant Hobbs.
It's not an evening for standing about on the pavement, is it, sir?
Indeed, it isn't.
May I don't want to trip over your lovely carpet?
You're not the Inspector French, are you?
Well, I see you've installed one of these newfangled burglar alarms. Very sensible, if I may say so. In here, is it?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. A very nice room, Mr. Pemberton, if you will allow me to say so. A very nice room indeed. I dare say you have some rare collector's pieces in here. Wouldn't you say so, Sergeant? Sergeant Hobbs understands more about these things than I do. I couldn't tell a ming from a tang, so to speak. Oh, that's a very nice-looking bit of pianoforte in the corner. French, is it?
Italian. It's a copy of a Bartolomeo Cristofori. I collect them. Now, Inspector, if you could...
Copy, you said. Would that be some kind of forgery?
It's an intricate business, forging a piano, I would have thought.
What can I do for you?
You came straight here from Victoria Station this evening.
Yes.
You didn't stop off anywhere, make any calls?
No. Look, Inspector...
And then you went out again?
Yes, I usually dine with my partner when I return from France. What is this about, Inspector?
You are familiar with the Galerie Berlou.
I'm sorry?
Berlou. Galerie Berlou, Maison des Ombres, Rue de Faubourg, Saint-Honoré, Paris. My pronunciation may leave something to be desired, but I think you know where I mean.
Yes.
Then you may also know that the gallery is owned by a certain Mrs. Alexandra Hill Brooke, who has an apartment above. During the early hours of this morning, a certain item was stolen from that gallery.
Stolen?
Stolen, Mr. Pemberton. Stolen.
We would like you to answer a few questions, if you'd be so kind.
Of course, if I can be of any help.
You are an antique dealer.
Yes.
Your main business is selling French furniture in this country and other bits and pieces. Musical instruments, glass, ceramics, jewellery, that sort of thing?
Mostly furniture.
For which purpose you travel to and from France at regular intervals?
Yes.
Paris, Boulogne, Folkestone, London. 8:25 from the Gare du Nord one way. The night train from Victoria the other. Once a month, regular as a cuckoo clock. Am I right?
You seem to have gathered...
I do my homework. At about 7:32 on the morning of Friday, 4th of November, that is to say this morning, you left your hotel in the Rue Jacob and proceeded by cab to the Gare du Nord, where you took the boat train. Is that correct?
Something like that.
Now, in the course of this journey, shortly before the train reached Amiens, you met a young lady. She visited your compartment. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, Inspector, but I don't see what this has to
do
with...
Very well, then, let's approach it from a different angle, shall we? When the woman, calling herself Denise Marchand, Mrs. Hillbrook's personal maid, came to your compartment, she gave you a small package, did she not? Well, did she or did she not give you a small package?
Yes. But how do you know...
Have you opened it?
Certainly not. It was addressed to Hermione Bowater, Mrs. Hillbrook's granddaughter.
Do you know what the package contains?
I was given to understand it was something for the child's birthday, some kind of trinket. Her birthday is tomorrow.
Where's the parcel now?
In my safe.
In your safe? Are you accustomed to keeping trinkets for small children in your safe? Sit down, Jack.
I think we ought
to. We'll do this my way.
Look, Inspector, I don't think you understand.
You are familiar with the Hillbrook collection?
Yes.
Then you will be aware that it contains a necklace called the Yang Chai Jade. Well...
Yes.
Can you describe it, please?
Well, Yang Chi is actually the Chinese for mutton fat. It refers to the colour of the jade. It's a white nephrite, which is rarer and more valuable than the usual green. Are you telling me that...
Go on.
The necklace consists of a fine gold chain on which are hung a number of delicately carved plaques, believed to be of considerable age. Plaques of the same kind, a few millimetres thick, and carved in a similar way, have been dated as early as the Chu Dynasty.
The Chu Dynasty?
About 500 BC.
You're very familiar with this necklace, Mr. Pemberton.
It is a very beautiful piece, Inspector, and very well known. A classic of its kind.
How much is it worth?
A very considerable sum. Very considerable indeed.
Would such a necklace be difficult to dispose of?
I'm not sure that I understand what you mean.
If a necklace as famous as this was stolen, would it be difficult to get rid of it? I would like your professional opinion, Mr. Pemberton.
I really don't know. I believe there is a market for this kind of thing. It would probably have to be broken up and sold in separate pieces.
But it would require an expert to find such a market, would it not?
Someone who knew a lot about jewellery.
I expect so. I don't know. My speciality is French furniture and musical instruments, not jewellery.
Thank you. You've been very helpful. Very helpful indeed. Well, I think the time has now come to have a look at this packet of yours, if you'd be so kind. Mr. Hobbs will accompany you to your safe, if that's all the same with you.
Very well. I take it you have the necessary authority.
We do.
I think you do not know who I am. We met at the reception, I was not sure. Charles Pemberton, you steal a young girl's heart with your English smile, but you do not remember her.
Fancied her, did you?
I beg your pardon?
The girl. Fancied her, did you?
There you are. That is the parcel I received. As you can see, it is addressed to Hermione Bowater in Mrs. Hillbrook's handwriting.
Familiar with her handwriting, are you?
I would like to make something very clear.
Before you embark on a statement, sir, I suggest we open this parcel. And we have a box. fancy box for a child's trinket, wouldn't you have said? Now. And there we are. I take it you recognize that, Mr. Pemberton. Your description was very accurate. I don't think I should touch it if I were you. Now, if you would care to make that statement. Well, sir.
I don't know what to say to you, Inspector. I believed everything that girl told me. Everything.
Taken you for a little ride round Robin Hood's barn, hasn't she? If you take my meaning.
But why me?
An obvious choice. The ports are being watched. You are highly respected. Your routine business is seeing valuable antiques through the customs. Your personal luggage is probably never searched.
Who is she, this girl?
If she is who we think she is, she's an experienced thief and a specialist in deception. Her real name is Rosie Fenton. Born in France, educated in England. Her method is to establish herself as a trusted lady's maid in a wealthy family. But what we haven't determined is your relationship with her, have we? Rosie Fenton may be an accomplished little thief, but she's a small-time crook. Where would she find the connection to dispose of a thing like the Yang Chi Jade? You see the problem?
I find that suggestion offensive, Inspector.
Oh, do you? Well, let's look at the facts, shall we? On the table in front of us, we have a unique and extremely valuable stolen necklace. Fact. It was removed from the Galerie Belleau in Paris in the early hours of this morning. Fact. Mrs. Hillbrook's maid, who was in the house at the time, disappears unexpectedly on the same morning, telling the concierge who lets her out that her father in Boulogne is sick. She has no father in Boulogne. A check against her identity reveals certain inconsistencies. A description of the girl is circulated throughout France. Ports and frontier posts are alerted. The girl is traced to the Paris-Boulogne boat train and picked up by the French police who board the train at Amiens. She is held on suspicion and searched. Since she does not appear to have the necklace and there is no evidence against her, she is, unfortunately, as it turns out, released. However, further inquiries on the train reveal that between Paris and Amiens, the girl paid a short visit to an English gentleman in a first-class compartment. French police telegraph Scotland Yard for assistance. Since the English gentleman is sitting in a reserve seat, there is no problem tracing him. And who do we find? A reputable and distinguished antique dealer who turns out to have the necklace in his possession. Those are the facts. Yes, Hobbs.
This is not the Yang Chi Jade.
What?
We've been had. This is a cheap imitation. It's accurate enough, weighs about the same. The carvings are pretty good, but it's a fake. Might deceive someone who didn't know any better. Took me in at first. He's clever, but...
Are you sure? By God, you better be sure.
I'm sure. If that's the Yang Chi Jade, I'm a Chinese coolie. Somebody is playing games.
May I use your telephone?
In the hall. May I look at it, Sergeant?
Help yourself.
So, you think this is an imitation, do you?
I'm quite sure it is, sir.
Well, if it is, it's a remarkably good one. These carvings, Sergeant.
I'll take that now, if you don't mind.
Could be stained bowenite, I suppose, or lead glass. But it's...
You'll know more about these things than I do. I'm just a police officer trained by the book. For all we know, Mrs. Hillbrook had it copied herself. I dare say there are people who can afford to give this sort of stuff to their children.
Give me that parcel. No, no, not the necklace. The packing. You told me you hadn't opened this.
That is correct.
I think not. This label has been removed and replaced.
Not by me.
If you would like to get your coat, Mr. Pemberton, I think it would be a good idea if you came back to the yard with us.
You have no evidence.
Let me tell you something. We're not looking for a clever thief. To a penny, those. Nor are we looking for some antique trinket, whatever it's worth. No, Mr. Pemberton, we are looking for a receiver. A skillful and well-established receiver. A fence. And an expert. A man with a thorough working knowledge of the market. A man with connections from Athens to Amsterdam. A man who knows more shady goldsmiths, jewelers and backstreet carpenters than I've got pimples on my chin. How would such a man operate? What kind of cover would he have? I'll tell you. He'd have the best possible... A well-established international firm of dealers with an impeccable reputation.
Would you mind?
Leave the door open.
I think you've gone too far.
Just get on with it. We need him scared.
We've got him scared.
You do your job and I'll do mine. My way.
It's time we got moving.
He will.
It's for you, Inspector. Scotland Yard.
Thank you.
Do you sell the stuff you got in this room, or is it all your own?
Am I going to be arrested?
It's not for me to say.
This is utterly ridiculous. He must know that.
I dare say it'll sort itself out. One way or another.
I see you've sealed it up again.
So I have.
Will you be going away in the next few days?
No.
We'll need a formal statement from you, but that can wait. I think we owe you an apology.
How well?
It looks as though our French friends have sent us on a wild goose chase.
Oh, then I'm right, it's not.
Rosie Fenton was picked up in Rouen about 8:30 this evening with a ticket to a left luggage office in her pocket. No prizes for guessing what was in the office. Well, we'd better get off. At least that lets you off the hook, Mr. Pemberton, for the moment.
What does that mean?
Well, it rather depends on who you met on that train, doesn't it? What are we going to do with this, Sergeant?
I wouldn't know.
We've got nothing on it now, have we? Better keep it as a souvenir, Mr. Pemberton, and take my advice. Leave it somewhere safe. It may be required for evidence.
What am I to tell Mrs. Bowater?
Well, you could find that was a cock and bull story, sir, designed to lead us all astray. Well, I should forget about it if I were you. Thank you for your cooperation, and please accept our apologies for the trouble we have given you. Well, I think we can find our own way out. Don't forget your coat, Sergeant.
Oh.
Do stop pacing up and down, Charles. You're making me nervous.
Sorry.
Sit down, can't you? Not on that, the glue's still wet.
Sorry.
He's made a good job of it, hasn't he? Not even a hairline crack.
You don't seem to understand, Peter. Last night I was on the point of being arrested.
So you tell me. Now, how are we going to get that refectory table in here? You didn't mention it was 32 feet long, did you? I've had a call from Folkestone. They can't get the damn thing on the train. We're going to have to make some other arrangement.
I'm trying to tell you something serious, Peter.
Of course. I'm sorry. What happened next?
Scotland Yard rang back and told the inspector that the French police had found the real necklace. They'd picked up this Rosie Fenton in Rouen with the ticket of a left luggage office in her pocket. Then they left, warning me not to dispose of the fake necklace.
You talk to me about the integrity of this firm, Charles, and then you go and accept a parcel from a strange girl on a train, a crook with a pretty face, pretending to be a housemaid, for God's sake. What were you thinking of?
Why should she give me a fake necklace? That's what I don't understand.
Well, I don't know. Perhaps they've used you as a decoy, a red herring. Someone else took the real necklace to Rouen and hid the ticket for her to collect later. Looks as though the trick worked, doesn't it?
I don't believe that. It's too elaborate.
You mean you don't want to believe it? You're besotted by that girl, aren't you? Anyway, they found the necklace, so what are you worrying about? You're in the clear. Sling over that catalogue, would you?
I don't think I am.
What do you mean?
They weren't just looking for the Yang Chi Jade, Peter. They're looking for a receiver. I think they suspect us.
Of receiving stolen goods? That's ridiculous. Did they say that?
They implied it.
Well, we've got nothing to fear, have we?
I think we have. If this business gets out, it could do us a great deal of harm.
Then we must see it doesn't, mustn't we?
They were trying to frighten me.
Well, that's how the police work.
There's something odd going on. You don't think the whole thing could be a police trap, do you?
How can it be if they've found the necklace?
We've only got their word for that.
What do you mean?
I don't know. They made me uneasy. They were waiting for me. They knew all about me. Everything. I think we are being investigated, Peter.
They have got you scared, haven't they? Well, we aren't receivers, so we have nothing to fear, have we? Have we? Charles, is there something you haven't told me?
Come over here. Look at this casket. You remember when Antoine got that for us?
Of course.
And you remember what we thought about it?
We both agreed it was genuine, and we both know exactly where it came from.
The casket, yes. But what about the stones?
They were probably inlaid later. We agreed about that.
But we don't know where those stones came from, do we? It's a skillful job, very skillful. Only a small part of the stones are visible. They wouldn't be very easy to identify, would they? You'd have to take the whole thing apart.
Damn it, we know where these things come from. We buy them in good faith.
Of course we do. I accept that. But could we prove it? Just suppose, just for one moment, suppose the police were to start sniffing about in here. Do we actually know what they would find? Come on, let's face up to a few facts. Just how expert are we? Just how much do we really know about some of the stuff we sell? How much do we really know about Pierre and Antoine? What do we really know about what goes on in that workshop of theirs?
Someone has been putting ideas into your head. This is grotesque. We've known them for years. You see them once a month.
We've known Pierre for about 5 years, Antoine about three.
I've known them for longer than you, and I trust them both.
Yes, of course. I trusted that girl.
Perhaps you are a better judge of furniture than you are of people.
Perhaps. Well, let's hope I'm wrong. Are you pleased with Antoine's latest finds?
Very. What are you going to do? With the bogus necklace, I mean.
What do you suggest?
I suggest you do nothing. And certainly say nothing. If the chauffeur comes to collect it at 11, or whenever you said he was supposed to, then you know she was genuine and the police are on a wild goose chase. If he doesn't, then you've been taken for a ride.
Round Robin Hood's barn.
What?
Nothing.
Come in, Mr. Pemberton, come in.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I couldn't see you earlier.
Not at all.
You must excuse the chaos. 17 children, a magic lantern show, fireworks and a conjurer. Exhausting. As you can see, we haven't even tidied up. I told Elsie she could go to bed once she'd let you in.
It's very good of you to see me at this late hour, Mrs. Bowater.
I'm having a little nightcap. Will you join me? It's gin, I'm afraid. Since my husband departed, we don't seem to have any whiskey in the house.
Thank you very much.
Please, help yourself. Perhaps you'll be kind enough to refill this. I feel as if I'd been on my feet for a week. Can't say I'm very fond of fireworks. I'm a great admirer of the Chinese, but I think it would have been better for all of us if they hadn't invented gunpowder. Don't you agree?
Water?
A drop. The conjurer was good, though. I never cease to be astonished by the way they make things disappear. Oh, thank you. Well, here's to crime. Oh, dear. It's not a very appropriate toast, is it? Do please sit, if you can find a space.
Thank you.
Did I understand you to say on the telephone that you knew my mother?
We sold her some things.
Yes, well, she's a great collector of things. And of people, provided they're beautiful and rich. I'm afraid I'm not part of her collection anymore. Do you have any children?
No.
I have one daughter, Hermione, 11 today. She's part of my mother's collection. Another objet d'art for the visitors to admire. She's pretty, you see, and sparkles, so she's her grandmother's little gem. And she spoils her dreadfully. Do you know, last year she gave her a jade deer? Worth a small fortune.
It was her birthday today.
You sound surprised. Do you think I'm too old to have a daughter of 11?
Not at all. It's just that I've
been...
White
deer is a Chinese symbol of immortality. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Mrs. Bowater, does your mother have a personal maid called Denise Marchand?
Yes. Pert little thing has ideas above her station. I rather think my mother may have got rid of her. Why?
Had she been with your mother long?
Oh, I've no idea. I don't keep up with my mother's domestic arrangements.
May I talk to you about the Yangtze jade?
Ah, the Yangtze jade, yes. Are you an expert in jade, Mr. Pemberton?
Well, no.
As soon as it was stolen, my mother telegraphed. She knew I was fond of it. But she had no idea of its value. None.
Really?
Oh, I don't mean its price. I dare say my mother knows the price of every item in her collection. I mean its value.
I don't think I understand.
You don't know why the Chinese set such high values on jade?
Because of its rarity, I suppose, and...
No, Mr. Pemberton. The Chinese value jade because it represents nobility, beauty, and above all, purity of mind. The ancient Chinese believed that the contemplation of the jade object brought harmony between the heavenly and earthly powers in man, and thus immortality. Above all, it symbolizes virtue. Ironic, don't you think?
I suppose it is.
You can steal someone's heart, Mr. Pemberton, but you can't steal virtue. Did you know it was made of white nephrite?
Yes, I did.
Which is especially valuable. Do you know why? Because it's flawed.
Flawed?
It's transparent, you see. The flaws in the mineral are visible. The Chinese were very wise. They knew about the flaws in the human heart. What is it, Confucius said? The wise man does not hide his true nature. It is only the impure who try to conceal what they really are. Something like that. Have some more of this stuff. My daughter tells me I drink too much.
May I?
That would be most kind. And please, help yourself. I'll tell you something else about that necklace. It was stolen.
Yes, that's what I would...
I don't mean the other night, whenever it was. I mean, long before my mother acquired it. The thing was almost certainly plundered from a Chinese monastery. You know the story about it?
No. I hope that's...
Thank you. The jade plaques were originally given to some monk renowned for his great virtue. When he died, they passed to the monastery, where they remained for centuries. Then, when China was opened up, they were sold off to some Western adventurer. But they came with a warning. That's what the carvings on the plaques are supposed to be all about.
What sort of warning?
Some kind of monkish joke to keep away thieves. Something to the effect that no one may keep the jade unless they are truly honest and received it as a free and unwanted gift. As the original monk received it, I suppose.
Your mother will be glad to have it back.
Only because it's the prize piece in her collection. It'll be insured for thousands. I once tried to explain its meaning to her. She just laughed. Well, it'll be broken up and scattered round Europe now. People like you will be selling it off in bits. The plunderers plundered. I suppose it's a kind of justice.
But it's been found, didn't you know?
I beg your pardon?
The police have found it. And they came to see me last night. This is what I wanted to talk to you about.
Last night?
Yes. Denise stole it. The French police picked her up in Rouen. Apparently her real name is Rosie Fenton. She had the ticket of a left luggage office on her, which was where they found the jade.
The police told you this? Last night?
An inspector called round to see me.
Why should they call on you, Mr. Pemberton?
I met this woman on the train coming back from France. She told me she was Mrs. Hillbrook's maid and asked me to bring across a present for your daughter, because she couldn't come herself. She said her father was ill. The police thought it was the stolen jade and that she had given it to me to smuggle out of the country. When they opened it, it turned out to be a fake.
What an extraordinary story. Have you got it with you?
No. They asked me to keep it in case it was required as evidence. Would your mother give your daughter a copy of the Yangtze jade?
I wouldn't put it past her. Well, at least we know why she didn't get her present this morning. But I think you've made a mistake.
I'm sorry?
The Yangtze jade has not been found. I can't think why the police should tell you that it has.
Not been? May I ask you how you know this, Mrs. Bowater?
Because I spoke to them on the telephone this afternoon.
What did they tell you?
They always say their inquiries are proceeding satisfactorily, something like that. Apparently, they think the jade was stolen by the same people who took the Tashkent emeralds and the Koraput diamond. Well, I expect you read about them. It was all in the papers. Rather discriminating thieves, don't you think?
May I ask to whom you spoke?
Somebody called Sergeant Hobbs. You look worried, Mr. Pemberton. Have some more gin. It distances things, I find. I expect the police know what they're doing.
I expect so.
Why don't you speak to them again? You're welcome to use the telephone. It's in the hall if you can find it under the debris of Hermione's party.
That's very kind. Perhaps I will.
Yes.
Can I bring you a gin? It makes things seem simpler, even if they aren't.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Well, have they found the jade?
I don't know. It was very odd. All they did was ask questions.
Ugh, red tape, they're always like that.
I wish I'd never met the girl. How can I prove it was chance? I think they think I'm in league with her. They think I've stolen the jade.
And have you, Mr. Pemberton?
It was an imitation.
Are you sure?
Your face, it is so solemn. You are not bidding for Louis XV's shares now. You remind me of my father, you know that? You are so English. Everything a French girl dreams an English gentleman should be. Reserved, kind, a breaker of hearts, and very handsome.
Pemberton?
Yes?
We are police officers. You telephoned Scotland Yard about half an hour ago.
That is correct.
I'm sorry to disturb you this late hour, sir, but could we have a word with you, please, about that telephone call?
Of course. Please come in.
Thank you. Well, at least it's a fine evening. Makes a change after all that rain.
I see you have one of those new burglar alarms. I'm told they're quite effective.
I was expecting Inspector French.
Oh, yeah. It's through here.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, it's a very pleasant room, Mr. Pemberton. Very pleasant indeed. A private collection, I take it. See why you need an alarm. So I'm not a specialist, of course. We leave that to the sergeant here. But I would have said you had some valuable things in this room.
Please sit down, Inspector. Sergeant. Can I get you a drink?
Not when I'm on duty, thank you, sir. Yeah, about this telephone call. Sorry I wasn't available to speak to you myself. However, I gather you told my colleague that you were visited late last night by a certain Inspector French and a Sergeant Hobbs about some stolen necklace. Is that correct?
Yes, the Yangtze Jade.
Why should they visit you, Mr. Pemberton? If you wouldn't mind, sir.
Well, on Friday, I brought a parcel back from France. A gift for Mrs. Hillbrook's granddaughter. It was given to me by Denise Marchand, her maid, who was unable to bring it across herself. Apparently, the French police thought it was a stolen necklace.
And was it?
Sergeant Hobbs said it was an imitation. When they discovered this, they rang Scotland Yard, who rang back a moment or two later to tell them that the necklace had been found. However, I saw Mrs. Bowater this evening, Mrs. Hillbrook's daughter, and she told me the necklace had not been found. That is why I rang you.
Let me see if I got this right. They opened a package, found it wasn't the stolen necklace, wrapped it up again, and left it with you.
That's right.
I see. That's interesting, isn't it, Sergeant?
Very.
I'm afraid this is going to come as a shock to you, Mr. Pemberton, but I am Inspector French, and this is Sergeant Hobbs. My card. Perhaps you ought to have asked him for his.
I don't understand.
You've been hoaxed, sir. Hoodwinked.
Taken a little trip round Robin Hood's barn. A bit of a shock, Mr. Pemberton?
Yes, yes, it is. But I don't... He used that same phrase about Robin Hood's barn.
Did he? Well, well. Large man, wasn't he? Tall, greying hair, rather bushy eyebrows. Nose looks as though it had been in pickle for a while.
Yes.
Bill Collins. Well, it must be. If he was impersonating me.
Stakes must be high if he's back on your patch, Chief.
Who is this?
Phil Collins?
He's an ex-policeman, Mr. Pemberton, a former colleague of mine. Worked in my squad for a couple of years. Detective Sergeant William Collins. A real performer. Made to think he was overzealous until we discovered just how crooked he was. Got him for taking bribes. There was more to it than that. He should have been put away. Now, he's one of the best confidence men in the business. Operates on the continent, mostly. Keeps out of my way. Paris, Rome, Amsterdam, Nice. Goes under more assumed names than I've got pimples on my chin.
He rang Scotland Yard, Inspector. And they rang him back. I answered the telephone.
Yeah, but you didn't know who you were talking to, did you? I mean, if you don't mind my saying so, that's a rather simple trick.
I had no reason to suppose...
Of course you had. He'd been convincing, I dare say. Now, once you think somebody is who they say they are, it's very difficult to think otherwise. That is the basis of a good confidence trick.
Yes, well, they certainly took me in. So did the girl on the train.
We'll come to her. Now, what about the other man?
Small, was he? Chubby?
Yes.
With a dark chin and a very thick neck.
That sounds like him.
Yeah, he's back with Jack. Hmm. Slippery-fingered gentleman known as Jack Price. He's an old friend of ours, too.
The Paris-Boulogne boat train.
That's right.
Now, what arrangement was made about collecting this package?
She said the chauffeur would collect it in the morning, about 11.
Whose chauffeur?
I understood it to be Mrs. Hillbrook's chauffeur. Mrs. Hillbrook was about to return to Kent, where she has a house. However,
that sounds like Collins. He'd take a job as a chauffeur. Mm. And you agreed to this arrangement?
Yes, I did think I might take it round that evening, but I never got the chance.
Yes, because Bill Collins came round.
Yes.
Did you tell the girl you might do this to change the arrangement?
No.
Doesn't make sense.
Well, there's a catch somewhere. So, you arrived back here with the parcel. What did you do then?
I washed and changed, then I went out to have dinner with Mr. Sanderson. It's the usual arrangement when I get back from Paris.
That would be your partner, Peter Sanderson, would it, sir?
Yes.
You still have the parcel. You didn't take it round to Mrs. Bowater?
No. I thought then that the girl's story was a fiction. About the daughter and so on.
I see. Yeah, I think we'd better take a look at that packet, if you wouldn't mind.
Of course. I'll get it.
What do you think?
Well, there's a funny smell somewhere.
Why didn't they stick to the chauffeur routine? Easier, safer. Something must have gone wrong.
Maybe they got nervous, leaving it with him overnight.
Bill Collins doesn't get nervous.
Here it is. I haven't touched it since last night.
Here. There's your necklace. That seems to settle that then, doesn't it, Sergeant?
That's not it. That's not the necklace. I don't understand this, Inspector. It was quite different. This is a cheap toy. It's not even like the Yangtze Jade.
Yeah, the necklace you produced for Bill Collins, did you think it was an imitation, or did he tell you it was?
He examined it, the other man, and said it was a fake.
And you agreed?
Yes.
You've been properly hoaxed, haven't you? There doesn't seem to me to be very much doubt that what you brought into this country, Mr. Pemberton, was the real Yangtze Jade. How do you feel about that?
Bewildered. But thank God I rang you up. I was beginning to feel the police were after me.
Well?
But I still don't understand what happened.
Well, you've been the victim of the classic confidence trick. One of the oldest in the book. Allow me to explain how it works. In its standard form, the crook sells you a valuable item, let's say a large diamond, the authenticity of which is not in doubt. He puts it in a nice box, passes it up in front of you, fancy ribbon and all. He puts the parcel on the table, you hand him the cash. And then, for a brief moment, he distracts your attention. In that moment, he switches parcels. He goes off with the cash and the diamond, and you go off with an empty box. In this particular case, they used you to get the jade through the customs. The girl, calling herself Denise Marchand, hands you the goods in France, with a story near enough to the truth to be convincing. You smuggle it through for them. And Bill Collins collects it by switching parcels. If you think back, perhaps you can remember when the switch was done.
That telephone call. I went out to answer the telephone. When I got back, they got the thing parceled up again.
The call you thought was from the yard. Okay, well, that explains it.
And I imagine they left pretty quick after that.
Yes, yes, they did.
Have you any idea why they chose you for this job, Mr. Pemberton?
Your Bill Collins gave me some very plausible reasons. I travel regularly on the route. I'm well known at the customs. The girl even went out of her way to bump into me at a sale the day before. I suppose to make sure I would remember her. They must have planned the whole thing some time ago. They knew all about me.
Did he say anything about the girl?
Said she was someone called Rosie Fenton, specialised in taking jobs as lady's maid.
His wife was called Rosie. I thought she'd left him. Anyway, that's a problem for the French police. Did he say anything else?
I think he enjoyed pretending to be you, Inspector. Put the wind up me, I can tell you.
Really?
Said he wasn't really looking for a thief at all, but a receiver. A dealer with an impeccable reputation.
Well, that's not far from the truth. The offence is precisely what we are looking for. Yeah, a good one. As you probably know, Yang Chi Jade is just one of a string of thefts, which include the Tashkent Emerald, the Karabakh Diamond. Those take a... Well, they take a bit of getting rid of. Collins and Price may think they're big-time crooks, but they're not in that league. There's somebody behind them. One last question, if I may.
Yes?
Did you tell anyone of your intention to take the necklace round yourself that evening?
I might have mentioned it to Peter. My partner.
When you had dinner with him?
Yes.
No one else? You didn't ring Mrs. Bowater?
I did that this morning.
Well, I think we've got all we need, haven't we, Holmes?
I think so.
We mustn't take up any more of your time. You've been most helpful, sir. I'm afraid we'll require a formal statement from you, but we'll get that later. You won't be leaving town?
No.
Good, good. Once again, thank you for your help. I think we can find our own way out. Don't forget your coat, Sergeant. Oh, all right.
Peter? It's me, Charles.
Just a moment.
You don't usually lock the door.
You don't usually come to the store on Sunday morning.
No, I don't. What are you doing?
What are you looking for?
I don't quite know. Is that Antoine's cabinet?
It is.
Where did it come from?
Bulgaria. He's traced its lineage back to an early Habsburg. Splendid piece, isn't it? Is it too soon for coffee?
Yes. Peter, do you know someone called Bill Collins?
Bill Collins? I don't think so, should I?
He's an ex-policeman and a crook.
Really?
Or Jack Price.
What is this, Charles?
The two policemen who came to see me on Saturday night weren't policemen. They were confidence men. Crooks.
I do know that.
I went to see Mrs. Bowater yesterday. She told me that the Yang Chi Jade had not been found. So either they were lying or something very odd was going on. I rang up Scotland Yard to find out.
I see.
When I got back, two policemen were waiting for me. Real policemen.
Well, well.
They think the parcel Denise Marchand gave me contained the Yang Chi Jade. I smuggled it out of France. Bill Collins and Jack Price hoaxed me into giving it back to them.
You are a damn fool, aren't you? I thought you wanted to protect the reputation of this firm. The last thing you should have done was to go to the police. Now we really are in a mess.
Why should we be in a mess, Peter? If we're not receivers, we have nothing to fear, do we? But that's not all.
By God, it's enough.
The arrangement I made with that girl on the train was for the parcel to be collected by the chauffeur on Saturday morning. She insisted on that. A very neat and simple plan. All Collins had to do was come round at 11 o'clock in the morning and I would have handed over the parcel without a second thought and then forgotten about it. So why the sudden change? Why that elaborate and risky policeman act?
You tell me, Charles.
There can be only one reason, Peter. They knew I was going to change the arrangement. They knew that I intended to take it to Mrs. Bowater myself that evening. So they had to act quickly. They had to devise some convincing way of getting it from me before I got to Highgate. But how did they know? Who told them? It couldn't have been the girl because I agreed to her arrangement. She didn't know. Nobody did, except one person. You, Peter. I told you over dinner that night. And almost immediately after I had told you, you went out and ordered a taxi. As if the doorman couldn't have got one for us. You went out to ring Bill Collins, didn't you? It was you who told them. You, Peter.
Quite a detective, aren't you?
You've been deceiving me for years, haven't you? You've been using my knowledge and my reputation. It was you who involved me with Antoine and Pierre. You who vouched for them. A receiver with an impeccable reputation. That's what they said they were looking for. My reputation. And if Bill Collins hadn't overdone his policeman act, it would never have occurred to me.
You're a fool.
Perhaps. But not as big a fool as you seem to think. Where are you going? You shouldn't have used me to get the thing into this country. That was crazy.
We had no intention of using you, you blundering idiot.
What are you doing? Put that gun down. Peter! Don't! Peter!
Are you all right?
Yes.
Where is he?
Fine.
Keep away from the door.
Oh, God, he's got the Persian crystal. Peter, stop it!
Is there another door into this place?
Far end.
It's bolted. Give me some cover. I'm coming in.
What was that? I've hit something.
The cast of Michelangelo's Belleheiros. One of the greatest art fakes in history.
Where is he? Other end. Behind that chest of drawers. I think he's only got one shot left, sir.
I shouldn't bank on that.
Peter Sanderson, is it Inspector French CID, International Fraud and Theft? Drop that gun, put your hands up and walk forward slowly, please. Can you hear me?
Was he any more ammunition?
I don't know. I didn't know he had a gun.
Well, we'll chance it. Hobbs?
Sir?
You go up one side, I go up the other.
Right, sir.
You can't shoot your way out of this, Peter.
Sanderson, this building is surrounded. You haven't a chance. Drop that gun and come forward.
All right, Hobbs. You stay put, Mr. Pemberton.
I'm going to get you, Charles. Come on!
Mr. Pemberton, don't stay where you are!
Now get him! Get him! All right, fire him, sir.
Have the gun. You see to Mr. Pemberton.
Are you all right, sir?
No, I'm not all right.
Where did he hit you?
He hasn't hit me. He's got the Orvieto vase. That was first century Roman glass, one of the finest examples in the country. It's irreplaceable.
I've got the cuffs on, sir. You won't be any trouble now.
Thank you, Sergeant. Just hold him there for a moment, will you, Palmer?
What are you staring at?
That casket. Could those be emeralds?
We'll soon find out.
Get the squad in.
Right, lads, here you come. You know what you're looking for.
Dawson, keep an eye on this gentleman for Sergeant Hobbs, will you? I want this place turned inside out, but take it steady. This stuff is expensive. Take the gun, Palmer, and see if you can find where those bullets went.
That's my life's work they're tearing apart.
Don't worry, Mr. Pemberton. They're specialists. They know what they're doing. I may say so. That was a very foolish thing to have done. Expose yourself like that. He could have finished you off.
I wish you had.
Ah, you mustn't talk like that, sir.
It came just in time, didn't you?
Hmm. Well, we've had this place under observation since last night, thanks to you. If you hadn't told us about your conversation in the restaurant, we would never have connected Bill Collins with your partner. You worked that out for yourself, didn't you?
Clever Charles.
He's been my partner for nearly 7 years.
Yeah, set you up good and proper, didn't he? Him and his French friends, Antoine and Pierre. Yes, Sanderson, we've got them. French police picked them up in the early hours of this morning, found all they needed.
7 years. How could they do it, Inspector? Oh,
patience and planning, that's what marks out the real professional. I don't suppose they started anything until Sanderson here had you eating out of his hand. Your knowledge and your reputation, your trusting nature, no doubt, were just what they needed. The thieves took the stuff to Pierre, who did the buying. Antoine did the transformation jobs in his workshop. You ferried the stuff into this country. If they could fool you, they could fool anyone. And Sanderson sold it off, mostly to wealthy Americans. A perfect operation. Until they made their one big mistake. They should never have used Bill Collins. He's too much of a performer, too much his own man. I wouldn't trust him with a tin of Proctor's pastilles. Fancy using you. Their one guarantee of security is a courier.
Well, the famous Inspector French has got it wrong.
It's all the same with these smart crooks. They get overconfident.
It wasn't overconfidence. It was bad luck. We had no intention of using this idiot. We didn't know the maid was going to give it to him. What a bizarre accident. If it was an accident. What you told me in the restaurant, Charles, was not so much that you were going to deliver the thing yourself that night, but that you got it in the first place. Imagine what I felt when I discovered that you... you had got the Yangtze Jade in your safe. My partner of all people.
What do you mean?
Bill Collins was the Hillbrook woman's chauffeur. He knew that she'd had a copy of the necklace made for her granddaughter and that Denise was supposed to be bringing it across. What an opportunity. All Collins had to do was switch the parcel with the maid in France and then switch it back over here. He didn't know her wretched father was going to be ill or that she'd strike up this ridiculous liaison with my partner. Pity you aren't a better judge of character, Charles. She's innocent. She didn't know what she was bringing.
I knew it. I knew it all the time.
Long live the pure in heart.
It would save us a good deal of time and trouble, Sanderson, and cause less damage to this workshop if you told us where the jade was. We know it's here somewhere.
Find it yourself.
Try that Japanese incense cabinet. There's a hollow back behind the drawers.
Hobbs, have a look, will you?
I take it you've got Bill.
We'll find him.
You don't know what you've done to me, Peter. I trusted you. I built this business up from nothing. And now it's finished.
I've got something, sir. It's the pot.
Yeah? I'll bring it over, will you?
Here we are, sir.
Come on, man. Keep looking.
Here you are, sir.
Yeah, there's more to find here. Here. Identical box, I see. Well, get it open, Hobbs. I've got a nasty feeling about what we're going to find. Well?
Well, this isn't the Yangtze jade. It's an imitation. Probably lead glass.
Yeah, I thought so. Collins wouldn't miss an opportunity like that. He'll be halfway across Europe now, the jade in his pocket. Trusted him, did you, Sanderson? Paid him for it, did you? Well, you've been outmaneuvered. Fancy your falling for a trick like that, dear. Oh, dear. There's no honour among thieves. Not these days. All right, take him away.
That's Hermione's birthday present. Can I take it to her?
No, you can't, sir. That's evidence. Get this place sorted, Hobbs. Sir. I want those emeralds.
She's innocent, Charles. Your little fiddies, think about that.
Damn you.
I've got a table. They're serving in 20 minutes.
That is good. I am hungry.
We'll be in Amiens soon.
Yes. Poor Charles. You have had a bad time.
It's not over yet. They only let me come to Paris because the French police want to see me. More questions. Then there's the court case. The whole thing's a nightmare. I'm glad your father is better.
Yes, well... I am glad you rang. I didn't expect to see you so soon. He is a villain, that Bill Collins. And your partner. You could have been shot, Charles.
I don't think so. Whatever else he is, he's not a murderer. I trusted him, Denise. For all those years, I trusted him.
You are a trusting person, Charles. A truly honest man. They are rare people. It is good to be trusting.
I'm not so sure.
What will you do now?
I don't know. I really don't know. When this is all over, I shall probably go away for a bit. Then I might start up again in a small way on my own. Perhaps just in keyboard instruments. I'm so glad you were still in Boulogne. I thought I might miss you. You see, there is something I need to know.
Do you think they will catch this Bill Collins, Charles? Do you think they will find the jade?
I don't know.
Anyway, Hermione will get her present now, won't she? The imitation is quite valuable, you know.
She'll get it after the court case. Denise, did the French police come to see you?
They asked me some questions, yes. But what could I tell them? Only that I had given the parcel to you. If I had known... Oh, Charles, it is so good of you to come. I was not sure whether I would ever see you again.
Tell me something, Denise. When you bumped into me at the reception, was that deliberate?
Yes, Charles. When I saw you there, I thought you would recognize me. And then when I saw you on the station, it seemed it was a destiny. You do not blame me?
Of course I don't blame you, but when you came to find me on the train, was it just because you wanted to see me again, or was it because you wanted me to take Hermione's present?
Please?
Did you come to find me on the train because you love me, or because you wanted to give me the imitation jade? I need to know, Denise.
I came to find you because I love you, Charles. But also, I thought you would help me.
Help you?
Charles, when this is all over, why didn't we go away, you and me? And then, perhaps we could work together. I could become your new partner. We could sell your keyboard instruments in my little shop. What do you think? You do love me, Charles?
Yes, I do. But I don't think it would be possible.
You are not still having suspicious thoughts about me, are you? All that is over. The mystery is solved.
Not quite.
What do you mean?
Peter was a good salesman, but he couldn't tell jade from glass. I don't think Collins and his mate could either, but I can. I may not be a good judge of character, Denise, but I know real jade when I see it. That necklace they hoaxed from me wasn't real. It is ironic, really, that they were pretending it was fake, and it really was. They didn't hoax Peter either. He's too shrewd to fall for a trick like that. They both thought it was the real jade. But it wasn't. Was it, Denise? You see the problem. When Bill Collins switched the boxes in Paris, he gave you the genuine stolen necklace and took from you the copy intended for Hermione, so he'd be safe if the customs found it. When he switched them back in London, he should have got the jade, leaving me with Hermione's present. But he didn't. All he got was a copy, and all I got was a cheap toy. Somewhere between Paris and London, somebody must have tampered with those boxes. So who got the real necklace? Who hoaxed the hoaxers?
Do the police know this?
No. And they probably never will. Apart from Bill Collins, the only people who touched those boxes between Paris and London were you and me. And they won't believe Bill Collins, even if they catch him.
What are you going to do, Charles?
I don't know. You lied about your father, didn't you?
I'm sorry. But it was the only lie. The rest was true.
Was it?
Will you promise me something, Charles?
If I can.
Will you promise to believe that I am not a bad person?
I believe that. What happened?
About 2 days before I am to come to England, I hear Max, the chauffeur, the man you are calling Bill Collins, talking to another man. I hear my name, and I hear him say, "I will change the boxes when I take her to the station," something like that. I think he is going to steal Hermione's necklace and give me another box, an empty one. So I decide I will play a little trick on him. I buy a cheap little necklace, worth nothing. When Madame Hillbrook gives me the parcel for Hermione, I take it up to my room, unwrap it carefully, take out the necklace, and put in the cheap one. I keep Hermione's necklace in a safe place. The next morning, the chauffeur goes to England with the car and the luggage. I take the train. I give Max the box to take to the car, so it is easy for him to change it. When I am on the train, I open the parcel to put the necklace back, and then, oh, Charles, you have no idea. I recognize the jade, of course. I have seen it many times. Can you imagine the thoughts that go through my mind when I realize what he is doing, this man? I was very frightened. What am I to do? Who will believe me if I am caught? How can I go through customs? Everywhere they will be searching.
You could have told the police.
You could have told me.
Osha, yes, I should have done. I am such a fool. But I am tempted. I do not wish to spend my life as a maid. I am not a servant. I am not a servant, Shal. With these, I can buy my little shop. I can be free. I could become someone you would take notice of, Shal. Someone you could love. Please. You must understand.
You mean you took it for me?
I love you, Shal.
But Denise, what would you have done with it? How would you have sold it?
I thought you would help me. I was so sure. But I was wrong. I am no good for you. You are too honest, too good, too trusting. I cannot deceive you.
I don't know what to say.
It is over, Shal.
What are you doing? Wait, Denise.
No, Shal. You are right. It cannot be, you and I. It is not possible.
No, wait. Let me help you.
Please, you must let me do what I must do.
Don't go. They'll catch you. Denise, I'll have nothing left.
You have my gift, Shal.
What?
The jade. You have the jade, Shal.
What? What are you saying?
I put it in your suitcase for safekeeping. When you are booking the table, it is yours now, Shal. Yours. Keep it well.
In The Yangtze Jade by Michael Campbell, Jeffrey Bateman played Charles Pemberton, Karen Ford, Denise, Neil Stacey, Peter, William Eagle, the real Inspector French, Bernard Brown, the real Detective Sergeant Hobbs, Conrad Phillips, the false Inspector French, and Bill Wallace, the false Detective Sergeant Hobbs. Helen was played by June Barry, and the accordionist was Pam Cantwell. The Yangtze Jade was directed in Bristol by Sean McLaughlin.